true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Well, we have a wacky, different structure today that we're going to do that I feel like we could announce right now, which is that we decided, by we, I mean, this was my wacky idea, which now seems like, wow, you gave yourself a pretty large homework assignment there, Katie. Great job. I was like, what is
Katie's like the endurance magician of spiritual teachers. She's like, I will encase myself in a block of ice. An attempt to communicate with the beyond.
Oh my God. I'm going to have my hands handcuffed behind my back in a block of ice, juggling fire with my teeth. And I'm going to read
Chris Angel of record readers.
I'm going to read the records with my vaginal canal. Wow. Because my mouth is juggling fire. It's going to be amazing, you guys. Amazing. Here's what we're going to do today, everybody. This is me tap dancing for you. We're going to do spiritual tap dancing, which is we're instead of having a guest on, we're going to take a half hour for four different past guests. Well, three different past guests and three people you've heard of and one person you haven't met yet on the podcast. And we're going to talk to a dead person or a person on the other side for each of those four people. And we're going to take half an hour per person. So if we had Jenny Smith on first, Jenny Smith is not going to come on, but Cassidy and I are going to chit chat. And then I'm going to say, cool, I'm opening Jenny Smith's uncle's records to talk to him on the other side. And we have some guests from the past and Desmond and a friend of mine who have sent questions in that they wanted to ask of their dead relative or friend.
I like how you just dead people. In my mind, I want to couch it. I want to say I will be speaking with the ancestors and getting ancestral wisdom. Or Katie's just like, so someone died and I'm going to talk to them because they're dead. And both of those things are true.
I like to be direct. I don't know what to say about who I am anymore. I can't. I just am. But you're right. That's what it is. I guess to me, ancestors, that's not a phrase I would use because we're talking to one of the people, it's their friend. One of the people, it's their dad. One of the people, it's your dad. I don't know what your dad's is.
I think it was grandpa.
Okay. That feels like an ancestor.
Yeah.
And then Desmond, it's his dad. I guess I don't think of dads as ancestors.
Pretty directly true. They are exactly what they are.
No, but aren't ancestors, the word ancestor imply many generations back?
I would even argue that I don't think it does. In a lot of belief systems, I know that a lot of people say they are an ancestor now. As soon as they pass, they become an ancestor when you pass, at least in the sort of spiritual sense. And in that sense, blood isn't actually as important. Blood is part of it. Absolutely. But I think people will think of someone who was very important to them as an ancestor once they pass.
That's great for me to know. I think that's probably a cultural difference that I wasn't aware of.
Yeah.
I don't even know which cultures we're talking about, but that's good news information for me. That brings up another thing, which is that something I've noticed in the woo-woo landscape in the spiritual worlds is people will often say, people often think that if they talk to their dead relative, that because the relative is dead or an ancestor now, or on the other side, I'm only mocking to mock myself, really. But if someone's on the other side, people assume that that person has more information now or is somebody to bother listening to. And I always like to say to people, let me just remind you. Yeah, sure. We talked to your great grandmother on your dad's side. Was she an asshole in life? Because are you okay, Cassidy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're doing this, which is
I'm weird. Sitting funny.
Are you trying not to burp in the mic?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm like, why is he sitting like he wants to be as far away from you? And
I don't like what you're saying.
You're making a face like somebody farted in the room you're in, but there's nobody in the room you're in.
Maybe I did.
And you're trying to get away from your own fart. Where are you going to go?
I grant it was a strange position to sit in.
So anyway, my point being, Just because somebody's on the other side doesn't mean they're more wise now than they were when they were here. So it's like, you want to look at, yeah, talk to your great grandmother, but like, what's up with her soul? Is her soul in like deep bowing and surrender and alignment to the divine light of all that is? Or is her soul like, yeah, I fucking died. Now I sit here and I'm still a cranky hag.
Yeah. We hope, you know, yeah, we want to lift up the idea as being, well, they are definitely enlightened now because they have crossed through the veil.
Nope.
But
definitely not. In fact, think about if this is for people's understanding, like think about how many enlightened masters there are. And there's maybe like 12, like people that have lived on Earth that have ascended to this, to like ascended master plane. That's like, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 something people.
You mean throughout history?
Forever. And then you have like how many saints? 60, 100, 200?
It's probably more than that, but yeah.
500 saints? Great. How many people, humans that came here and became enlightened but didn't ascend to be ascended masters, but were just like fucking enlightened? I don't know, 40? Now, think about what?
You're really shorting these numbers. Like there's only 40 people throughout history who've gained any level of enlightenment. So you're not including yourself in that list then.
Wait a minute. No. Not any level of enlightenment. I'm talking about actual enlightenment where there's okay. Nothing left to process, clear, be done with. Like,
got it.
There are a small handful of those people. Let's be generous and say 1,000 of them. Maybe 2,000, if we're going to be real generous. Now, think of how many humans are on Earth. How many? You would know this.
6 billion.
I have no idea. A lot. Okay. 6 billion compared to all those numbers we added up a moment ago. Let's be generous and say 5,000. So what's the likelihood that your grandma, because she's dead, is now either enlightened, a sage, a fucking saint, or an ascended master? It's low.
Okay, but in this theory, in this construct that is weird because we're speaking of it in 3D language, obviously, which is self-limiting, but you're not frozen the second you die though, right? You're not like, I was an asshole then, so now I'm an asshole. Like, like whatever version of their ongoing story, they could continue to grow as well.
Of course. But what I'm saying is you can't make, okay, think of it this way. And this is a great topic. And it brings me to something Chad said that I want to talk about before we dive in, but we'll dive in soon. I promise. Your soul is on an ever unfolding journey. According to what I believe. Now, there are people who believe all kinds of different shit, right? I'm just this lady who believes this thing. So some people, when they die, they go to like a holding zone for a while. Some people don't reincarnate right away. Some people reincarnate right away. Whatever's happening, they're going somewhere to keep evolving, whatever that may need to be for whatever their purposes are. And I do not have all the answers.
Despite the name of the podcast.
The name of the podcast for what all of that looks like exactly. But I have the feeling part of what's fun about today is we're going to learn some stuff about this through whatever I can hear, hopefully, you know, when we're in the records. Anyway, my point being, yeah, people still continue to grow. But just because your grandma, let's say your grandma was an abusive asshole, because that's funny to say, and then she dies, she doesn't just up a level because she's dead. She may have to go right back into a new body to try to learn to be less of an asshole. And it may take her 50 bodies to get to even an inch less of an asshole. It depends on the soul, you know? So yeah, we could definitely can't assume that she's like wise now because she's dead. And B, we also don't say like, well, now she's just stuck somewhere as the same asshole she was. No, she's on a journey, and you know, we can't assume anything until we get in there and vibe in and see what the deal is. We're going to read the records of a dead person. For Sophia Fredericks, who we had on recently, she's got two very short, quick questions. For Blossom Benedict, who's a dear friend of mine who lives in Michigan, who's not been on the podcast yet, about her dad, who's on the other side. She's got a bunch of questions. And then Cassidy's dad, who was on the podcast, he has a bunch of elaborate questions. And Desmond's dad. A lot of dads today. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So I think, why don't we just start with an easy one? Well, with what I'm assuming is an easy one, which who knows, but Sophia, we'll go into Sophia's friends records. The thing for folks to know that I find very fun about this project we're doing is that when I go into the records of a person, dead or alive, wherever their soul is on its journey, speaking of that, I get to be present with that, with them, which means I'll speak specifically. Blossom's dad was kind of like not very well when he passed over and not super, we could say, mentally stable. And as it happens, Blossom and I have a mutual acquaintance who has already like read this dad, her dad, and been like, good luck, because that is a ride and a half.
Okay.
In that guy's soul. So it's going to be, that's why it's tricky for me, like as a healer, when I get a client who's like really, really traumatized and really struggling, it's so dense in their energy field. It's a difficult place to be for me. So anyway, that's just context so people understand a little bit more about what this is going to be like. My plan is to talk about each energy when I get in there. So off we go. I'm going to start by opening the Akashic records of KBB Taliba Dylan, who is the friend of Sophia Fredericks. Okay. And I'm just going to sit with, is it in our highest good here to get the clearest info for Sophia to just go straight into KBB's records? Yes. Do we need to go to Sophia's records first? No. Okay. So I'm not going to take us through the whole opening meditation because I don't need to get into it. We do acknowledge the forces of light. We can take a couple deep breaths, each of us into the belly. Here, we'll do a shortened version. Breathing into your low belly, becoming aware of the midline of your body. Feel your feet on the ground. Feel the midline of your body extending to the center of the earth. And the midline of your body extending infinitely above your head. Feel your feet sending roots into the planet, hundreds of miles down, connecting each of us here today individually to the layer of the earth or the part of this planet that our souls individually connect with most deeply. I mean, that's just a nice little centering exercise. And I'm going to say a few things for myself out loud. We're going to see now the toroidal fields begin to flow through the midline connection up, down, and around. I mean, we're going to visualize a ball of bright white light at the center of our hearts, each of us. We're going to see that ball of bright white light expand to fill the whole body so that every cell of your body, Cassidy and Desmond and myself, is lit up with bright white light. Every cell of the body resonates with a white conscious light that is an expanded energy from your heart center. And then we'll see that ball of bright white light that started at the heart center expanding now out 6 feet around us in every direction, up above the head, down into the earth, left and right, forward and back. Every molecule of that 6 foot in every direction ball of light is a bright white pinpoint of light. And we'll see that sphere expand now to the size of whatever building you're in, and then to the size of whatever city you're in, deepening into the earth deeper and deeper as the sizes get bigger, as deep into the earth as the city is wide, and then expanding out to the edges of the country and then to the edges of the earth. And then just see that big sphere of tiny points of white light expanding past the edges of the earth to the edges of the galaxy. Oh. Whenever I expand, I can hear your guys' thoughts better. And I'm like, oh boy, I wish I couldn't hear people's thoughts sometimes.
That's scary.
Expand.
I didn't know that. Now I'm terrified.
Yeah, you kind of should be. And then we'll expand that ball of light past the galaxy to the edges of this universe and all known or unknown universes beyond. Just knowing that we are expanded really wide and big and open, which allows us to be more receptive and more psychic antennae, which is why that happens. So from here, we do acknowledge the forces of light. It's mostly Desmond, by the way, so you can panic less, Cassie. I'm hearing everything inside of Desmond right now. asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know KBB Taliba Dylan in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me, please, to see KBB Taliba Dylan through the eyes of the Lords of the Records, and enable me, please, to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of KBB Taliba Dylan have for KBB Taliba Dylan. I mean, she wrote it out for me phonetically, which was very generous of her. And I'll just go quiet for a moment here. KBB Taliba Dylan. And so we're asking now, I'm asking Lords, Masters, and Teachers of KBB that you deepen me into alignment with KBB's records. And I was told ahead of time by Sophia that KBB was female identifying, so I'll refer to her that way. Okay. And I'm just starting to feel awarenesses of possible qualities of KBB. Lords, Masters, and Teachers of the Records of KBB Taliba Dylan. Are we in those? Am I in the records now with her? Yes. Okay. Will you please deepen me into KBB's records so I can really hear clearly for Sophia's sake what guidance KBB has for Sophia? So Sophia would like to know, KBB. So let's see, let me ask directly here. Are we going to, could I speak directly with like KBB's soul? That's better. And not the record keepers per se. Here we go. That feels much clearer. This is an energy that feels very dropped in, very centered. Very, I want to say in alignment with its own source, this KBB's energy, that is, if I am in fact perceiving it correctly, very strong and rooted into herself and her own alignment. And so KBB, I'm wondering if I could ask, okay, yes. Sophia's wondering, any new ways I should be approaching my work? Tips for auditioning. There's this, I would appreciate it. I would encourage you strongly to give yourself away, never, to remember that even when you play a character who is decentralized in themselves, who is not grounded or rooted to this reality, that you yourself can remain tethered through your conscious choice to your own reality, and that having that alignment, that communion with yourself is important, even if, depending on the character, there's only a thin thread, a mere thread connecting you to you. Maintain that thread, maintain that center, know yourself. Okay, is there more about that? No. Tips for auditioning? Okay. So people want to feel you in the room. They want to feel you. Who are you? Who will they be working with for this many months? Don't hide. There is a difference between your potency, alignment, clarity, truth, and reactivity. I know you understand the difference, but sometimes perhaps there is a little confusion, or you'll get pulled into a reactivity moment in the moment, which is common and normal given the stressful circumstance of what an audition is. And there's a difference between centered strength an empowered vocal expression of your truth versus fuck you reactivity. Not that it ever gets that volatile with you, but that feels like an important distinction to articulate. You don't give yourself to them. You give yourself to the role. You don't disempower yourself to the people in the room. You choose creatively to become more empowered by effectively pretending. It is not about pleasing those people. It is about becoming the character and pursuing their objectives. Surrender your attachment to what they think of you. Let it go. Detach. Stop it. Stop it. Every time you notice your mind, think of your mind and your own energy in an audition as either constricting through the middle of you, popping up out through the top of your head and reaching across behind the table to the auditors to get their approval, or staying in yourself, expanding, doing the job, and fully detaching from what they need, think, or want, or project. They're going to need, think, want, or project anyway. You may as well stay in your center. This will give them the impression of your strength. And of course, when it's actual, this will give them the experience of your actual strength. How do I navigate, she says, difficult working relationships with another actor or director? Well, I would like more specifics. What kind of difficult working relationships? The best I can give here would be to say, look at your, what is triggered in you. Spend the majority of your energy when you are having a difficult time with someone, looking at your vulnerability, your wound, what is triggered in you. Spend time nourishing, nurturing, and taking care of the part of you that is triggered. And less time, I can see I'm being shown some specific examples of the types of dynamics she's referring to. There's several types and this is complicated. So type one, if someone is toxic, trust yourself, don't engage, be kind, stay a little distant, but not closed. Don't close your heart, because when someone is that toxic, they feel you closing to them and then they try to penetrate you more. They'll bother you more. Stay open, but stay busy. Oh, I'm busy. I have to be over here now. Oh, I'm busy. I have to be over there now. But I'm open in my heart and I'm not resistant. Anyone being an asshole is not because of you. It's because they're being an asshole. Don't personalize so much. Nothing on this earth is ever about you when people are just being assholes. Now, if you've been an asshole, you're in response to someone being an asshole. Now you've complicated the situation. You may as well be kind, boundaried, self-loving and self-caring. Go home at night, tend to the part of you that's triggered, but don't engage. Certainly don't bother trying to fix it. And if it's super toxic, get out of there. You don't have to stay in toxic environments anymore. It's a new world. It's a new dawning. It's a new day. There will be plenty of opportunities. Lastly, we'll say this. When someone is beyond help, Sophia, don't get into it with gossiping with other people in the context. Oh, isn't he such a dick? Oh, he doesn't get it. Don't get into it. If the person can't be communicated with, if they're not healthy enough to hear, or if there isn't time in this process, just do your job. Head down, do your job, process with your therapist and your team and yourself. Take care of yourself around toxic people. The best advice I could give you is get less involved. And then I'm Katie, just wondering, like, well, would you say there's ever a time to get involved? Yes, of course, there's a time to get involved. If someone is being harmed, if you are being harmed, go to the person above the harmer and communicate calmly and not reactively, because that is an effective way to get one's needs met. Not because you're kowtowing, not because you're giving up your power, but because it works. We want to do what works in this life. If she were here, I would say, does that make sense? I think for time, we can wrap that up there. Yeah?
Yeah, that was some, I think that was an awesome capsule of a lot of wonderful, this person does have perspective in their next place, which is probably why Sophia was reaching out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wasn't saying no people on the other side I know are wise.
I get that. Totally. Of course. And I would, yeah, I'm just acknowledging that, like, yeah, obviously Sophia is reaching out to a trusted wisdom person.
Yes, I think you're right. And she had said to me in her text that we talk, she said, oh, here, actually, it's in the email. I don't have a ton of questions for her. We talk often. So I hope this is enough.
Nice.
So I'm like, oh, Sophia's talking to her friend on the other side. I love that. All right. Well, thank you to, I want to say this correctly, KBB. Thank you so much for this. It's a pleasure to be with your field. You're very strong and clear, and I appreciate you. And she,
I'm also really grateful for all the things she said. I'm like taking all that in, like, whew, good stuff.
Oh, good. And she does this gesture. She's like, a, you know, namaste kind of gesture. All right. Let me close that up. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion, and the lords of the records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you send all of KBB, Taliba, Dylan's energy back to herself. Please send all of KBB, Taliba, Dylan's energy back to herself. Please return all of KBB, Taliba, Dylan's energy back to herself. The divine portal and the Akashic records of KBB, Taliba, Dylan are now closed. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And so just for people's awareness, something I just taught how to learn to read the Akashic records class this week for level one for people. And something folks have been asking, which is relevant in this moment, is when I close the records, like, am I still a little bit in them? Because I feel all spacey and weird. And it's the what I've been taught and what I experience every time I do it is yes, is that it takes a minute to kind of pull out of that state. So we can be a little amped up or fuzzy or however we were on that, the other side, as it were, when we come back. So it takes a second every now and again. Most times I do it anyway, it takes a second to pull out. Okay, but I'm feeling clear. I'm thinking we go to Blossoms now. And then your dad and then Desmond. Does that work for you, Cass?
That sounds great. Let's do it.
All right. Any thoughts on how that went? Anything you wanted to say or chime in with?
I think it's, no, I love it. I think I also am kind of interested in the sort of different types of questions we have coming, like also very good general wisdom, obviously, like for a lot of people. That was a wisdom-based one, I feel like, you know, please. And I'm not sure what the question is for Blossom, but like for my dad, it's more direct, like I need to know some, I need to clarify some history and some genealogy. So that's just knowledge, you know? Right. So yeah. I love that those are both options. And it also doesn't require that my great grandfather be an enlightened person because he doesn't have to give us enlightenment because he probably wasn't. Anyway.
That's a really good point. Yeah, different kinds of questions. And we could find out too. Maybe he's evolved some since then, maybe not. Who knows? Okay, which reminds me of something. So we almost had our buddy Chad back on to do this today, but Chad's response, just to share this, because I thought it was such a great response. He said, I'm going to paraphrase now briefly. He said, I don't know that I share the same belief about quote unquote where souls go. So I feel like the whole premise of the question, I can't fairly engage in. And I was like, ooh, well then I think we have to have you back on to talk about where do souls go in your view of the universe? Because I think that would be a really interesting and cool conversation. In addition to the fact that Chad has a really particular way of doing energy work that is very effective for me and my system and my body when he's worked with my system, but it has a bit of a different ethos than mine does. And so I find that very fascinating. And I thought that could be a really cool conversation. And I told him that and he was like, oh my God, juicy, I'm in, let's do it.
I love it.
So we're going to have Chad back someday. Okay. We're going on now to Robert Thomas Benedict. Oh boy. This is the one I've been pre-warned about.
How do you go in without bracing yourself, but also still bracing yourself? Like you don't want to go in loaded like it's going to be an asshole, but maybe you do.
Well, I can't brace myself or anything. It's just going to be uncomfortable. I just go in going, okay, I guess it'll be uncomfortable or I'll be pleasantly surprised and it won't be. But bracing to me implies like you sort of close off and put a wall up to the thing which I can't do or I won't get any read on it.
No.
So I'm going in just like, okay, the water's going to be cold, but we're going to dive in.
Right. Open the heart even wider.
Exactly. Okay. So she says a few things here, but I just wanted to say this just because of our time limitations. I put them in order of my interest in case you don't have time for them all. And if you have extra time at the end, there's a question in parentheses. Look at that. Okay. Great. So that's kind of for you, Cass. Like if I get off on this one and we're 45 minutes in, you can let me know. Okay, here we go. This is such powerlifting of spiritual work. Why did I say we should
do that? We did one time where we did like 20 questions. And that early on, we took like, before we started having guests on, we did one where we just took like 10 questions from the field or 20 questions from the field and just ran through them all.
Okay, powerlift. All right. And so let's just take ourselves back into the heart center for just a moment. We'll see that ball of white light there. We know that it's expanded to fill our full bodies. We'll see it expand again, 6 feet in every direction, out to the building, out to the city's edges, deep into the earth, high above our heads, out to the country, out to the earth, up, down, left, right, forward and back, out to the galaxy, out to the universe and any other known or unknown universes. Multiverses. I mean, okay. Okay. And so we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Robert Thomas Benedict, Blossom Benedict's dad. In the light of the Akashic Records, boy, help me to see Robert. What did I say? Thomas, Robert Thomas Benedict, through the eyes of the Lords of the Records, and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Robert Thomas Benedict have for Robert Thomas Benedict. I'll go quiet for just a moment. Oh boy. Okay. Help me to know Robert Thomas. I have to say this out loud. Benedict. Robert Thomas. I cannot keep his name in my head. Robert Thomas Benedict. In the light of the Akashic Records, to see Robert Thomas Benedict through the eyes of the Lords of the Records and enable me to share that was in the past that the Masters of the Lords of Robert Thomas Benedict. All right. All right. So Lords, Masters, and Teachers, the records of Robert Thomas Benedict. I'd like to speak with his soul now, if I may. Could I do that? Yes. I'd like to be with his soul and feel it energetically through my system. Oh, boy. Wow, I got a really distinct smell in my nose. Let me just see what that one. Like almost like a fire burning, like when you burn paper or newspaper or something and it smells like a little bit bad but also great, like you get a little obsessed with the smell. All right, are you here Robert Thomas Benedict? Yes. Okay. It was tough going in, but then it got softer. My heart was really tight for a minute. He says, yeah, I'm a complicated sort. Okay, so Blossom has some questions for you. We're just doing this podcast and are you open to questions? Yes. And I still feel him kind of dropping in. Okay. And I'm asking, are you a reliable narrator? And he's saying, I think so. He's kind of a charmer. He's kind of a charmer. You have to remember, he says, like when we're on the other side, when we're in the other form, we have more direct access to the essential nature of who we actually always have been and who we are. And so you get more of that from me here. And also, I am a charmer. He's a little manipulative. I can feel his like, you are a trip. He is a trip and a half. Okay. Blossom's questions now. I grew up telling the story. Wow, he gets real present when we say that. He's like really listening. I grew up telling the story casually that you, quote, passed out LSD at airports to soldiers about to go to Vietnam. Quote, I never really contemplated the weight of that story until recently. Can you talk about what psychedelics were to you at that time? What did they teach you? Why were you so passionate about their potential? Well, All right. So we could see through time and space. We saw through all the portals and all the multidimensional realities, and everything became clear to us. It was like we had access to all the wisdom and the knowledge of all the ages all at once. Of course, I thought it would heal me entirely, but it didn't. You know, there are certain parts of me that it fully healed and certain parts of me that were encased. Imagine like encased in a bubble, encased in a kind of like a trauma bubble inside of my body that no drug or spiritual experience could ever touch. Those parts of me, honey, are the parts that never could heal. But you have to understand, my mind was wide open. My mind was blown open. And so it opened my mind and it showed me reality, and I could see through the different matrices of consciousness, and I could understand how nature and man and thinking and time and math and money was all one thing, and it was all interconnected, and we just wanted to help everyone. And we understood that people who were going to war, they had to have, you know, they were either trapped by the system, and so they needed, you know, facilitation in being liberated, at least in their mind and hopefully in their heart. You know, psychedelics can liberate not only the mind, but the heart as well. This is his point of view, by the way. And so we wanted to liberate them on their way so that maybe they could make a different choice or they could leave. They didn't have to go to war. You know, people didn't know they had power. They didn't have a sense of self. They didn't know what their choices were. So we wanted to drug everybody to wake everyone up. That was what, those were the portals we had at the time. Okay. Let's see. Did I miss any of the question? Can you talk about what they were? What did they teach you? Yeah, all of that. Why were you so passionate about their potential? Well, they blow the lid off the circuits of reality. Okay. You're going to see an entirely new reality when you look through the psychedelic lens. In fact, you know, psychedelics give you access to the fractals and the broken fragments of the things that we call this reality. You know, you think the tree you're looking at is a tree. No, it's just a vibrational frequency of light, just like your hand and just like your thoughts and just like everything. So, you know, why was I so passionate? They were incredible. And you know, at the time, the culture hadn't seen anything like that, and it blew all of us open, and we thought it was going to change the world. Okay, question two. There's quite a bit of research that psychedelics, she says, can help overcome alcoholism. You took so many, and yet you never overcame yours. Why do you think that was? What do you think made your alcoholism such a difficult hurdle for you in your life? I'm so sorry, honey. I'm so sorry, honey. Sweetheart, I'm so sorry for the ways that I failed you all and and the ways I couldn't be there. Oh, I was a mess. I know. I love you so much. You have to remember how trauma works. There are parts of me, even now, encased in that bubble I spoke of moments ago. Parts of me that I'll never have access to, at least not in this form. Perhaps in my next incarnation or in some other dimension, I'll be able to puncture the walls of that encasement. There were parts of me that were too terrifying to face. And so when parts of the self get fragmented off and bubbled around, they don't integrate. And when you're unintegrated, you can't fully ground. So you have to understand, honey, the part of me that could see you clearly just loved you so much and still does, and just wanted to be in the light of Jesus with you because I saw your light so clearly. But the rest of me was unhealed and unintegrated and walled off from that part of me that could see clearly. Additionally, I was sharing my body with a number of people, no entities, no demons. Yes. Demons, dark energies, many ghosts, many goblins, many darknesses that I had picked up and taken on, all the drugs and all the time on the street and all the other kind of drugs and all the alcohol. And I wasn't quite right, honey. And I would leave my body so many times and I would want to stay with you. I would want so badly to stay with you in the room when you were there. And the part of me that could say Jesus Christ's name, I could see and feel that we could connect there. Even if you thought in your mind it was foolish at the time, I knew. I knew your heart. was with the Christ light. And so we could meet there, but I am a complicated sort. And I had many people and beings and goblins and ghouls to contend with in trying to communicate with you. So when you can't fully integrate or ground, it's very hard to stay sober because the voices are so loud and the pain is so great. And the psychedelics awakened the parts of me that were available, but they further dissociated and broke into parts, the parts of me that were not available. And I didn't know that would happen. I didn't know, I swear, I thought I was more unified than that. I didn't know it would happen. And I'm sorry. Okay. You said, this is her next question on the topic, of Jesus. I didn't read ahead in these. I didn't see that question before. You said, help me, Jesus, and praise the Lord constantly in the 10 years before you died. Context for the listeners, he received a head injury 10 years before he died and was in a care facility. They sounded like platitudes, yet you also seemed to have tremendous peace before you died. Can you talk about the role Jesus played for you in the last 10 years of your life when you couldn't walk or speak? Well, we touched on some of that just now. And here's what I would do in the care facility. I knew I could either lose myself to one of the invading bodies in my body and be in agony every moment at their behest and at their hand, or I could give myself to Jesus. And the part of me that was present and that was well informed and affected by the psychedelics, that part of me knew the truth of the light. And so I chose to stay with that light because it was the only comfortable energy for me. Everything else, imagine, honey, was like a horror show inside of me. It was like a circus show. Like I was a circus freak and there were only dark forms around me and portals to get lost in and schizophrenic tendencies to wormholes to travel through. And the Jesus light was the safest light. There was no platitude-ing happening. I was just trying to stay somewhere comfortable that I knew from that place I could find you. There's so much love here for you, Blossom. It's just covered in so much obfuscation. Sometimes it was like the only thing anchoring me here at all was my love for you. And Jesus's love for Mary that I could find in you. Soul planning. This is Blossom now. I hope it doesn't offend you to describe you as a bit of a chaotic, righteous human who burned most of your relationship bridges. And yet I enjoyed you so much. How did the soul planning go between us? How did the soul planning between us go? Who picked who and why? What roles were we playing for each other? So I'm just inside myself. I'm going, did Blossom pick him? Yes. Did he pick Blossom? No. Okay. Why? This is so interesting. I'm perceiving a kind of knowingness from the universe that's bigger than just dad responding like, you know, everything happens how it has to happen so that you can do what's next for your soul. So this was the perfect landing pad for you in childhood, from which the perfect landing pad, launching pad from which everything else could occur. You needed a bit of lawlessness at home, and a bit of renegade ruthlessness. And you needed the patterning to rebel against, to find your husband. And you needed the lack of structure to become so structured. And you needed the love and the connection and the joy to become more of that. All of it was perfection, perfect launching pad for what you would become, given the personality you would embody and inhabit, and given what your soul came here to do. And what did your soul come here to do? to effectively see through the veils of reality and to understand yourself accurately within the matrix of consciousness and to hold a clear vision, to hold the pole of a clear vision for those who would desire to hear it. Also, he had to, your father, injure you in the ways he did for you to wake up to all the things you're currently waking up to. He had to. I think that's it there. Okay. Is there more on that topic? Yes. Okay. Let me see if I can get a little more here. Did I answer that fully? What else would you say, either his guides, teammates, lords, masters, teachers, God itself, and or Robert Thomas Benedict on this topic? When you start with narcissistic wounding, when you start there and you are as curious to know the truth and to see and be the light as you are, there is almost no better way to humble a heart, to heal a soul, than to start with narcissistic wounding from a parent figure. And you had it from both in different ways. As you peel back the layers of your own narcissistic wounding, understand most humans you meet have some narcissistic wounding. This is a stage of human development that occurs in the development of all humans, the narcissistic stage. So everyone has, well, most people have some degree of it. Now, as you peel back the layers of your own, because of the pain and the failings of this man, of your father figure and your mother and your context, your childhood context, and the blend of the way there were all these gifts and all this support and all this joy and light and nature blended with these tormented energies, you will have access to the deepest wells of compassion, ultimately, as you peel those layers back. And you will have been rooted in some of the deepest wells of light and joy. And what a gift. Okay, that was the piece that wanted to come through. I have to blow my nose. I'm sorry, Desmond, when you're editing. I think, so do we go to that last question? No, I'm sorry, Bloss. We're going to have to leave this here. Hey, wow. I want to say thank you to the team here, the whole team of Robert Thomas Benedict's team, just like the whole team. Oh my God. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion, the lords of the records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of Light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return Robert Thomas Benedict to himself now. I ask that you return all of Robert Thomas Benedict's energy to himself. Please return all the energies that travel with Robert Thomas Benedict to Robert Thomas Benedict at this time. All of himself and everything that comes with him can go ahead and leave my system now. The divine portal and the Akashic records for Robert Thomas Benedict are now closed. Amen. I just need to do a thing for a moment here. So I'm going to ask that we open the Akashic records now of the Divine Light Healing Center, my healing center here in Mancos, just for a moment. And I'm just asking that anything from that last reading that can be taken from me and sent back to where it belongs, that you facilitate, Lords, Masters, and Teachers of the Divine Light Healing Center, that for me, please. Okay. There was a way that his Robert's energy was a little, you know, tight in the heart and difficult to be with. And so I was worried I still had pieces of him with me or pieces of his energy with me. And my record keepers or the record keepers of my healing center are showing me it's more like just the residue of the memory of what it felt like. So it's not like he's still here or those pieces are still here. Is that correct? Yes. All right. And so I'd like to just sit in the vibration for a moment of the Akashic records of the Divine Light Healing Center here in Mancos, just for a moment. Help me to know the Divine Light Healing Center and the light of the records. See the Divine Light Healing Center through the eyes of the Lords of the Records and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Divine Light Healing Center have for the Divine Light Healing Center. All right. Thank you for your patience, Cass.
This is great. Wow.
That was amazing to me.
It was really interesting to just be in the room hanging out with that guy. He was talking and I was listening to that guy. But I know that guy. Like I reckon like his choice of words and the way he was explaining himself was so, I don't know. I was just digging on hanging out with him, even though I'm sure he's a challenging dude, but like,
yeah. Whew, man. I mean, I'm so glad he explained that thing about the parts of himself that are walled off and that weren't ready to be kind of penetrated and healed. It makes everything I know about him make sense. And also being with him was pretty uncomfortable. So I have a lot of compassion for like his life path. That would be a hard body to live in, a hard soul to be with. And it just feels nice to sit in the records of the healing center for a moment because I'm getting all high vibe again, which feels great. Yeah, I forget that sometimes doing this work, if we're going to talk to like people, you know, not the beings of light, mm-hmm. that they have emotions. I never expect to cry because of the emotions of someone coming, you know what I mean? But that was him crying.
Yeah.
That was such a trippy thing to experience because it's happening through my body and I'm feeling sad, but I'm watching it happen and I'm aware it's not me, which is such a weird thing to experience. Okay. Since we're powerlifting, should we move on to your dad?
Yeah. I've just been reading through his stuff and this is more like genealogy, family history question. The two questions we have.
All right. I haven't read them yet, so I'll just wait and see till we get in there.
Okay. Do you want me to back you on this one? Do you want me to read along with you? Just be the narrator? Be my father? Or do you want to read it?
I need to do it just because then I can go at a pace that I can track.
Gotcha.
Like if you go, I might have to manage you and that'll be annoying for you. I'll be like, Cassidy, slow down. You'll be like, bitch, I'm trying to help you. All right. Let's see. What's your dad's full name?
Jim Brown.
That's it? No middle name?
James Albert Brown. And that's where this name comes into play because my great-grandfather, his grandfather, is Albert Augustus Hutton.
Oh, James Albert Brown. Okay. Oh, but
we're doing Albert Regarding Augustus Hutton.
My maternal grandfather. Jesus Christ. Here we go. Okay. I'm back, everybody. I'm back. Sort of. Augustus Hutton.
Also known as Gus Hutton.
Oh, okay. Also known as Gutton.
Gutton. If you really want to keep shortening. Also known as
Ten. All right. All right. All right. All right. Let's open this guy's records. I was starting to read the question, but we'll open it. All right. Here we go. Powerlifting. Not afraid. Kind of afraid. Okay. Can I do this one with, okay, I'm going to keep the records open of the Divine Light Healing Center because it helps me. It's like supporting me having a bunch more light. Okay. Okay. So we do acknowledge the forces of light. I mean, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. I think, by the way, this is my favorite episode so far. I love this. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness. Direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Albert Augustus Hutton, Gutton, in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see Albert Augustus Hutton through the eyes of the Lords of the Records. And enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Albert Augustus Hutton have for Albert Augustus Hutton. And I'll just go quiet for a second. All right. And so I'm just going to say to the record keepers of Albert Augustus Hutton, I'm just asking that you deepen me into these records of his now. Please help me be mostly present just to that. To his Akashic records, Albert Augustus Hutton. Okay, we're in his records. Okay, and so anything in the way of So do we, is it in our highest good here to hear from him directly? All right. So if you could connect me with Albert Augustus Hutton's soul, that would be very great.
And they're kind of like traveling me back. My eyesight went completely black inside my head. But I don't feel afraid. Sometimes when that happens, it's scary, but it's not here. You see, I don't know what that is yet. Let's sit with that. Okay, am I with the soul of Albert Augustus Hutton? Yes. Is this blackness like what he looks at? No. Is it like his soul is like that? No. Is this about, I don't know why it looks like this in my third eye. My eyes are closed, but I'm okay. It's changing now a little bit. I think they just had to take me through a certain place for a second there. Okay. Oh boy. I can see the whole landscape of the context of the family and the history and the, like the landscape of the land and where the house was. And it sounds like such a cliche, and it might just be an image I'm being given to help me get there. But like overalls, like denim overalls, I keep seeing this vast vista, flat land, porch, house. All right. Actually, yes, Cassidy, can you read this for me?
Sure.
It's a little bit slow, if you could.
I would love to know if a family legend about him is true or partly true. Legend has it that he was a business partner with Conrad Hilton at the time the Hilton Hotel, the first Hilton established the first hotel of that subsequent hotel empire. That initial hotel was in Cisco, Texas, historic fact, where my grandfather lived and was already doing business, also historically established. Now, the story is that has been passed down through the Hutton family is that Gus Augustus partnered with Conrad in establishing the Hilton Hotel in Cisco. But instead of remaining with Conrad as the business grew exponentially, which would have brought the Hutton family considerable wealth, he split off to pursue a fortune in the oil boom that was developing in that part of Texas. Can you confirm or tell us anything about this narrative, Gus?
All right. So thank you. Wow. Okay. What a great freaking story. This is fun. Okay. Albert Augustus Hutton. So is this true? And he's like, kinda, not entirely. There are pieces of this that are true, pieces that are inaccurate. So I didn't co-found it with them. Is that the word that was used? Co-founded?
Sounded like he was a business partner with Conrad, that he partnered with Conrad in establishing the Hilton Hotel is the word we used.
Okay, that's the part that's not quite right. He didn't partner with him to establish the hotel. They were partners in some kind of, they were working together. They were affiliated. They were involved in business together. Did you, Albert Augustus Hutton, establish those hotels with him? No, I wasn't involved in I wasn't quite close enough to the contract signing. When the contracts were signed, I wasn't a part of it. But I was there. I was involved in the journey and in the road. But when it came to signing pen to paper, ink to paper, I was never a part of it. And I never was going to be a part of it. I did think he was a bit foolish for getting into hotels at a time when oil was so clearly the way to go. Whoops. Yeah, it's sort of like a near miss, but not as near as the family would like to believe. I wasn't like that much in bed with him. Does this make sense? Am I making sense?
Yeah. So it sounds like you didn't choose to not be part of it. You weren't actually given that choice, it sounds
That's
to
right.
me.
That's right. That's right. It was never on the table. But we were, let's see here, friends, no, associates. We were consistent, regular associates. We had business together. Was it on other projects? Yeah, other projects together, other things. And then he was doing this thing and I heard about it and I thought it was funny, but also good for him, I thought. It all just seemed like equal parts, equal, yeah, I'll do this and you're doing that. And of course, I was pretty smug at the time and thought, like I said, that he was making a little bit of a hayseeds choice. but clearly that was mistaken. Okay.
That's a pretty clear answer.
Is there another question?
There is. It has to do more with genealogy that even came before Gus. So we can ask it and see if there's anything. Do you want to go further?
Yeah. Let's help your dad out.
So the other question is about Gus Hutton's genealogical roots going across the Atlantic. To what part of Northern Europe or the British Isles can his, and therefore my dad and myself, ancestry be traced? Where do they depart for America? Where do they land? Are there any notable events or tragic events in their westward migrations that the record keepers can reveal?
Okay, I'm sorry. What is he asking here?
He just wants to know if there's any, basically he's looking for, it sounds like to me like he's asking for, is there any interesting
23andMe?
I mean, he's done the 23andMe. It's more like, is there any narrative? Is there any family story about the migration, about that genealogy and our ancestry? Any notable events?
Does he know where they came from, your dad?
We know that a big chunk of folk were in the eastern southern border of Scotland.
Okay.
So in
England, Norway, Ireland? No. England? That's very specific. London? No. England. Parts of England, rural parts of England, Norway, Scandinavia? More? No. Norway, Finland? Yes. Scandinavia, Finland, England. Other parts of all that? No. Other parts at all? No. Yes. One more. Denmark. Is Denmark different from the things I already said?
Nope. I mean, yes. It's another part of Scandinavia.
Okay. Denmark. Other places? Yes. British Isles. Are the British Isles a different thing?
The British Isles really refers to like England, Ireland, Scotland, the UK plus Ireland.
The UK plus Ireland. So why do you mention the British Isles? Is there another part of the British Isles that isn't Ireland that we haven't mentioned already?
Wales, England, Scotland.
Wales, Scotland, England. No Ireland. Is there another part of the British Isles? No. And then all the Scandinavia stuff we said. Okay, Cassidy, does that make sense?
That does.
I'm just literally saying words I'm hearing because I do not know the geography over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that all the Scandinavia stuff is new in my mind to any part of this story.
Okay, great. Okay. So that's to what part of Northern Europe or the British Isles? Oh yeah, the Scandinavia stuff. That is, he didn't even ask about that, huh?
No.
All right. When and where did they depart for America? Where did they land? Are there any notable tragic events in their westward migration? Your dad is so fun.
He just wants it to be a story. What's the story?
When and where did they depart for America? And he's asking about actual Albert Augustus Hutton, right?
No, Hutton was born, Albert was born in England, I mean, in America, in Texas, in 1880 something. So he's talking about more, he's going beyond, yeah, he is ancestors.
It's the ancestors. That's what we have to call this episode, ancestors. Okay, so maybe that's why it's foggy when I'm asking. Okay, so where did your ancestors depart for America from? Oh my gosh. Norway again, Finland. They made their way to Ireland, but they weren't Irish. And then they traveled down further south to, can you get to England that way?
If you're in Northern Ireland, yeah.
Okay. They traveled further south to England. A bunch of them left from there. Are you saying they started in Norway and then got down to Ireland and then got down to England? Yes. And it was over time and it was a slow migration. Oh my goodness. Oh, that was just energy moving. And were there any stories that you could tell us about? So ships at sea and creaking wood, and it's cold, it's very cold, and sick, everybody's sick, and we're dirty. Some little boy met another little boy. They became friends, but they couldn't talk very loud for some reason, and it was cold, it was always cold. And then he never saw the little boy again when they got here. It wasn't that eventful. It's just he's remembering this little boy. Not sure who this is. So Albert, is this your dad? No. Your dad's dad? No. Your dad's dad's dad? Yes. No. Sort of. Your dad's dad's brother? Your dad's dad's uncle? Okay. Albert's dad's dad's uncle. He was the boy? Yes. He was a little boy. And then the parents were there and they're both parents? Yes. And he met this other little boy and they didn't talk a lot, but they kind of found a way to play and run around. Sometimes it was sunny and they would be so grateful for that because mostly it was cold and rainy, but sometimes it was sunny. This is very much like, excuse me, a little kid's point of view I'm being shown. It's very simple, little images, cold, sunny, play. Let's see. And then did you lose touch with him when you got to America? Yes. Did you find him later? No. And he had other friends and you always wondered what happened to him. And it was such a bonding thing because you were on this crazy long journey together, but then to never see him again was really sad. But you could never really tell anyone about it because you felt silly. He felt silly being upset about it because he was a man, you know, and he made this little boy friend and he didn't want to be seen as weak, you know, so he didn't talk about it with anyone. But he always kept that with him, the missing of that little boy. Well, that's one little story for you.
Yeah.
Are there any other stories? No. Sorry.
I know. I think you addressed the main one is that family narrative was very important.
Okay. Let me see here. Okay. So Albert Augustus Hutton, do you have anything else for us? No. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen when we close the records because that weird dark thing I had to go through to get to him, I don't know what that was yet. Let me see what happens. Well, thank you, Albert, for your thank you. We appreciate you. He says, no problem. There's a really kind of like friendly, matter-of-fact way about him. No problem. Okay, great. Okay, so I want to thank the master's teachers and loved ones. He's getting a bunch of energy work done just by being in this conversation. Like his soul is getting treated by me working with him. Okay, and so some of that blackness was that darkness I was pulled through was like stuff that he was just sort of carrying. That's getting clear just by being in this high vibration right now. So he thanks everybody who got him here today. And this is the energy of loss that we're clearing. All of the loss in his life. Oh, and he's laughing, but not about the hotels. Some deaths and some just loss, just a full lifetime. And he couldn't process it because it just didn't get processed. I want to thank the master's teachers and loved ones for their love and compassion, the lords of the records for the point of view, Holy Spirit of Light for all knowledge and healing. Please send all of Albert Augustus Hutton's energy back to himself wherever he is now. Please send all of Albert Augustus Hutton's energy back to himself now. Divine portal and the Akashic records for Albert Augustus Hutton are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records for Albert Augustus Hutton are now closed. Amen.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. Well, I wish we had a better story for your dad, Tess, but c'est la vie. But that's not nothing.
No, that's not nothing. No, we got a lot of new information today. That it's all goes to this family history book.
Okay. I like it. Sorry, Desmond. I have to blow my nose again. Desmond at home at a computer cursing my name, fucking editing out you, witch.
Shaking his finger.
Shaking Ew. His fist. All right. I've got the email, Desmond, that you sent me. Great. Jerry Jean McNeese. Jerry Jean.
That's him.
I like it.
Papa Des.
Papa Des.
And just to settle your mind, Katie, whether it's a sneeze or a long pause, I got to edit it out just the same.
Okay, so. Good.
Mute button or no, it's the same cut for me.
Okay, thank you. That does make me feel better. I know it's a lot of snot you have to listen to today. This is honestly, I wish I could say too, like, I just have a cold, but it's not that. It's that I ate dairy-free dark chocolate ice cream last night. And like any sugar in my system just turns the floodgates on. And then when we're in the records, there's all this light coming through. So it's processing. So you get all the snot. I'm sorry.
So to back up a little ways, you reading my mind, I just wanted to address that a little bit. And it's funny because like Cassidy had that moment where he's like, oh shit. And like, for me, it's just like, well, whatever. Because if I knew you were only reading my RAM, then I would panic and be like, football, 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 football. Look, I'm thinking about football. So that's, but I know that like there's no incognito mode for your powers. So like, well, she's in there now. Yeah.
Rock and roll. Rock and roll. So you're, I think what I'm hearing you say is you're like, I'm not even going to hide or be worried about it because what can I do?
Yeah, everyone's good and bad and pretty and gross and thinks pure and impure thoughts all the same. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you want to get in the trash can and root around, then, well, not that you wanted to, not that you chose to, but if you get in the trash can and root around, you're going to find the power bar and
a dirty diaper.
Yeah.
I love this metaphor. This ongoing metaphor is a lot of fun. Okay. Okay, cool, cool, cool. That's good to know. Hey, Cass, do you mind doing again what you did with your dad? That was great. You were right. I'm glad we did that.
I mean, we have Desmond here, but I can...
I know, but...
But we're going to stick with the form.
Here we go. Well, he wrote it down, and sometimes when you write it down, it's like, that's what you really want to know, or who knows? It could just be a starting point, Des, if you have more stuff that comes up. Okay. Oh, my God. I feel like I've been lifting weights. Jerry Jean McNeese. Jerry Jean, where's your dad from, Des?
Havre, Montana. That's where he was born. He spent most of his time in Billings and then spent the last 5 years of his life in Puerto Vallarta, or south of Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
Huh.
And that's where he passed.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Puerto Vallarta, gorgeous down there. I have a bunch of friends right now in Mexico. Apparently the thing to do when you live in Mancos, Colorado is go to Mexico for the winter. Everybody's in fucking Mexico. Everybody. That neighbor, my two best friends, everybody. The fuck. All right. Last power lift. Here we go. I got one more in me. Okay. Jerry Jean. Not afraid of you, Jerry Jean. So we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Jerry Jean McNeese in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see Jerry Jean McNeese through the eyes of the Lords of the Records and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Jerry Jean McNeese have for Jerry Jean McNeese. I'll just be quiet for just a sec. Okay. Okay, so are we in the Akashic Records of Jerry Jean McNeese? Yes. Okay, let's see. Is it in our highest good to hear directly from him? Yes. All right. Would you connect me, please, to his soul? Well, that's funny. The position I'm in, I don't know if you could see the full position I'm in, but I'm looking sternly ahead and my hands are on my hips. Like, all right, now what? That's the energy I'm getting of this man right now. Like, okay, all right, what are we doing here? What are we doing? All right, Jerry Jean McNeese, thank you for being here. We have some questions from Desmond, if you don't mind. Yep. Let's see. Go ahead. I'm ready.
All right. Desmond would like to ask him where you would like your ashes spread. U.S., Mexico, Montana, any ocean?
Okay. U.S., Mexico. Yes. Any ocean, Montana, Mexico. Off of Puerto Vallarta. Yes. You know, I was happiest there. It was peaceful. It was beautiful. I would stare at the ocean. Loved it there. Mexico. Yes, please. I just want to say one thing I'm aware of here, which is there's like a stern exterior and a soft interior. And there could be levity and humor, but it was often like you had to work to get to it a little. Like it was behind this kind of, but you knew it was there. Anyway, okay. So that's just something I'm aware of. Okay, Cass.
That's easy. So Mexico, Puerto Vallarta. Great. Did if he left this world satisfied, were you satisfied when you left this world is the question.
Not really. There was a lot I wish I had done that I didn't do. And there were a lot of ways of being. I wish I had, I wanted to get better at being, but I didn't get there. And as you probably know, kind of gave up. I gave up on a lot of pursuits. I just kind of gave up on it. It got hard and I'd been alive a long time and there's only so much you could do. And from this vantage point here, now I see I probably could have tried harder. I probably could have worked more at it with the family and with you and your mom. You have siblings, Desmond? Does he have siblings?
I was my father's only child, but he helped raise my older sister who from a previous marriage.
Okay, because there was just this phrase of like, you kids, I could have done better with you kids. So I just didn't know about siblings, but that's just the phrase I heard. So, okay. There's an awareness of, this is me talking, just there's an awareness here of like, you know, when you leave your heart closed to pain, your heart is also closed to joy. And when your heart is guarded, you at a certain point, it becomes very exhausting to try anything new or to grow or change because there's so many layers of guarding on the heart, and the heart is the portal through which all change can occur, or it's at least the muscle that is required to support the change. And so, and there's a real relief for your dad when I say that out loud. He feels relieved to hear me say that. He knew that was true about himself, but it was too... He didn't think anyone would understand, and it would have been too hard, he thought, to get in there and mess around with all that. And what are you going to rewrite the whole, you know, rewire the atom bomb? No, it's just an atom bomb. And what are you going to do? But there's some regret for sure about the energy of complacency, I want to say, and resignation, resigning yourself. Is this making any sense, Desmond? Since you're here, we could ask you.
1,000%.
Oh, great. Okay.
We got two more pretty simple. Well, one is simple and one is maybe the finisher. So what do you want done with your art?
What is it? Just so I know, Katie. Like paintings?
Yes.
How many of them are there?
All told, probably close to 100. I mean, there's 40 to 50 finished framed pieces, but I also have files of smaller watercolors and stuff.
Files?
They're not actually in a file cabinet, but they're like in a box and just basically they look like pieces of paper. But when you go through them, like I said, you realize that some are finished watercolors, some are him just doing color tests for other paintings.
Okay. Well, you know. I would have hoped you would have enjoyed them. Enjoy the ones you can enjoy. You know, I understand if you have to get rid of a bunch of them, how long can you hold on to paper from the past? You know, he's got this kind of like, I mean, what are you going to do? you know, I would have hoped you would have enjoyed them. So enjoy what you can. And I understand whatever else you have to do with the rest of them. I'm Katie here. I'm just like there's something about burning them, but I want to see what that is. Like, have you been thinking about that, Des? No. Maybe?
No.
Okay. Are you thinking about it? Desmond's dad?
I have thought about getting rid of them a little more casually just to get them out in the world.
Uh-huh.
You know, which in a sense could be just burning them off of my plate.
Okay, I'm just going to ask, I'm going to do this out loud. So like Jerry, right? Jerry Jean, are you saying you want him to burn some of them? He's like, you could burn them up. Just burn them up. It doesn't matter. Burn them up. Enjoy the ones you enjoy. Give them away if you feel like it. It's okay. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I made them. I cared. I hope you enjoy them, but don't stress too much about it. Burning is so weird though. Why burn them? And he's like, no, I'm just saying, if you need to get rid of them, go ahead, burn them, whatever's easiest. It's just a very practical, he's got this very practical, like, I don't know, backyard fire. It doesn't matter. But also,
sounds about
right. Yeah, okay. But also, you know, keep the ones you want and don't feel guilty about getting rid of whatever you need to get rid of. I'm just triple checking all that. You don't want them in museums or friends' houses or no, none of that. No.
Because I love them. There's just so many. And he used to rotate them in and out quite often. And I don't have the patience for that. I found the pieces I love or that go with a room. And so a lot of them sit around. I think they're beautiful and I think they should be enjoyed. And I can see his attitude of like, fuck it. But I can fuck them off my plate, but I want them to be enjoyed by somebody, which I believe most of them can be.
Okay. And I think there's just an energy here of like, don't, you know, if you give 20 of them away and you have to burn the rest, it's okay. He's not upset about it. All right. Was there another one?
The final question is just father to father advice. He asks, Desmond would love some father to father advice. I don't know why I'm asking it. Desmond's right here.
Any particular topic?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't plan on being a father. I didn't impregnate a woman and spend 9 months trying to figure out how the fuck I'm going to do this. I'm just, boom, I'm a father. I'm figuring it out on the fly. And hopefully he's been watching a little. And
okay, so fatherly advice about parenting, because you didn't have time to plan it. All right, let's see. What do you have for him? Anything? Yes. Okay, one, love them more than you think you should, or more than you think they need, or more than you want to. More love than you think you even have in you, love them more, because you'll regret it later if you don't. Two, practical, give them practical skills. How do you work a hammer? How do you build a wall? How do you, practical skills, very useful for a human. Number three, about love and sex and romance. I wasn't the best at it, but I know this much. Treat women well. Treat them kindly. I could have done better. I wish I'd done better. Kindness, more kindness. It wasn't my strongest suit. I wish I'd been better at it. Number four, get it in writing. Number five. Number five. Is there a number five? Yes. Always. I'm listening. Always. Now he's just making jokes. Always wear your sharpshooter hat. What do you want me to say? That's plenty. The end. You sassy motherfucker.
Oh.
Anything else, Desmond, while we have this chump here? This guy who I want to make fun of and tease and play with?
Nope. He is one of the people we talked about earlier in the show that has not ascended to another realm since his passing. He's just fucking Jerry Gene McNeese hanging out in a different dimension.
So this all sounds like him?
Fuck yeah.
Wow. Oh, I'm so happy. Like, I'm just so honored I'm just honored. It's such a weird thing to do what we're doing. I love it. I'm so happy it's reading and it's working. It's just such a funny, funny thing.
I mean, because that's how he raised me. I mean, he basically just said, do what I did. Like, I dare you to find a better way.
You turned out all right.
You give people hugs and you can hammer a nail. Like,
oh my God, that's hysterical.
Let's close your dad's records. I'm so glad we got him. Okay. Gosh, what a ride. Okay. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion, the lords of the records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of life for all knowledge and healing. We're asking that you return all of Jerry Gene McNeese's energy to himself now. He's like, thank God. Okay. The divine portal of the Akashic Records for Jerry Gene McNeese are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic Records for Jerry Gene McNeese are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic Records for Jerry Gene McNeese are now closed. Amen. 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 All right. Okay. We fucking did that shit.
You did that shit, but we did together, but you really did some powerlifting.
Well, thank you though for, it's much more fun to do it with you guys.
Oh yeah.
And I realized too, I was really cranky when we started today And then as soon as we went into the first person's records and did a little expansion work, it just really softened my heart and opened me up. So thank you both for your patience with me at the beginning today. I don't even know what was going on. I was just a cranky motherfucker. And it's just so nice. The records, this is like a pitch for learn the Akashic records, you guys, because you'll be less of a dick sometimes.
I started meditating again. So like just a couple little morning sits. And I did my sit this morning. And here's the context. This person I was talking with about this, she said, because I was talking about opening up my phone first thing when I wake up, open my eyes, and then you end up scrolling for nothing for 45 minutes. If that's how you start your day, you've started your day with hot garbage. Like you've literally set your tone as hot garbage being your tone for that. I was like, for some reason that landed deep. So then I was able to like, you know what? First thing I'm going to do is just sit up, put on some music, some ethereal something, and go for 15 minutes.
Well, I mean, that is why for the history of time, all spiritual teachers have said, first thing in the morning, do the thing.
Yeah, it's just so duh.
I know. I know. Yeah, I hear you. I had this realization recently that I've been taking for granted, like, being out here in Mancus, it's that my body is so comfortable in this landscape and the vibe is so right for my body that I've been taking for granted that my spirit has been getting fed. Because I feel like I keep sharing with you guys, like, I don't need the records to feel okay. Oh my God. But that doesn't change. Like, I just got this like 2 days ago. Oh, but if you want to have your spiritual alignment be strong and have more peace and not be an asshole, you still need to be getting in those records regularly, because even though your body feels good, it's easy to become complacent and cranky and all the things that humans be, that it's better that I'm better at not being when I'm doing my practice. So it was good.
I'm better at not being when I'm doing my practice. Wait, Katie, are you saying what I think you're saying? Are you saying that we should do I tried to smoothly slide into a catchphrase there.
I can't do it. I can't participate. I love you. I can't.
Won't do it.
Do your work or don't do your work or whatever.
Do the fuck you want, but you're better off when you do your work. Point is,
do your work.
You know, it's not hard and makes things better. So
it sure does. It sure does. You son of a bitch. I love you. What are you asking for? All of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers. Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @AllAnswersPod. Thank you. I think I'm going to hang up and come back.
Okay.
So I'll be right back.
I'm going to shut down the session and we'll just...
Let's all restart.
Yep.
That was a Sounds Awesome production.